Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Bear with me as I read this list of names. Starbucks, McDonald's, Amazon, Google, Coca-Cola, Netflix, Visa, Airbnb, FedEx. I could keep going, but those are just a few of the major American companies that have pulled out of Russia in some form or another since the war began in Ukraine. There are a lot of big tech companies on that list as well, including Apple, which has stopped selling products in Russia. Apple Pay and other services are also limited. Let's zero in on that side of the story with Lauren Good. She's a senior writer for Wired. Hey, Lauren.
Thanks so much for having me, Peter.
And what has Apple said about why it's made this pretty big decision to essentially put its own kind of sanctions on Russia?
Well, last week, Apple said it was going to pause all product sales and limit the functionality of some of its services in Russia in response to the invasion of Ukraine. The company said that it is deeply concerned about the Russian invasion and that it stands with all the people who are suffering as a result of this violence. And so it's positioning this move as Apple supporting humanitarian efforts, providing aid for the unfolding refugee crisis that's happening there as a result, and doing whatever it can to support people in the region.
And how big is the Russian market for Apple? In other words, how big of a deal is this?
That's a really good question, because I think when you look at market share of something like iPhones compared to other smartphones in the region, those made by companies like Samsung or Huawei, other phones that are running Google's Android operating system, Apple doesn't claim quite the same size market share as phones running Android. And in general, Apple products tend to be a little bit higher priced, so they carry with them a certain status and not everyone can afford them. But that said, at the same time, because those devices do carry a certain status, and because Apple is one of the largest tech companies in the world with one of the largest cash piles in the world, I think any moves that Apple tends to make will get a certain amount of attention. And so it's certainly headline grabbing that Apple decided to pause all of its product sales and limit the functionality of some of its apps and services in Russia.
Right. And you know, it's not happening in isolation either. Google and Microsoft have made announcements to cut some services in Russia as well. So why don't you run us through how tech is responding to this war and what kind of impacts they all might be having when taken as a whole?
We see that there are major tech companies that are pulling services or stopping sales in Russia. There's also Microsoft. Microsoft said it was going to stop sales of Microsoft products and services in Russia. We're also seeing some internet backbone companies starting to make moves. The New York Times just reported that Amazon has stopped accepting new cloud computing customers in Russia and Belarus. The Washington Post reports that companies like Lumen and Cogent, which are American internet providers to Russia, said they're severing business relations in the country. And so we're seeing that happen, and that directly impacts the Russian market. Then we see that tech companies are blocking Russian services in broader Europe. So we're seeing companies like Microsoft or Google either block or remove Russian news apps or deprioritize, you know, state-funded publishers in Google News. Facebook parent company Meta said it was also going to restrict access to Russia Today, which is one of the leading news apps, as well as Sputnik.
I'm also wondering, though, if there would be any collateral damage to those types of decisions, because there are a lot of Russians who are on the streets protesting against Putin. And we've seen, you know, how technology in recent years has revolutionized protests, and it has actually helped topple governments. So is there any risk, to your mind, of abandoning Russia in this way?
This is not just a war that's happening on the ground. It's a war of digital goods and services, and it's a war of information and misinformation. But ultimately, it's some of the people living in Russia who could suffer from lack of access to information or the inability to use payment or banking services or the inability to message with family and friends. Maps is another good example of that, right? Tech companies are starting to cut off access to maps in certain areas. And part of that is for the safety of, let's say, the Ukrainian people who are trying to flee the country and get to safer spots. But cutting off maps also means that some people aren't able to find their way out. And so anytime these kinds of sanctions are put in place, there is going to be collateral damage against innocent people.
Do you think that Apple, Google, Microsoft, are they willing to exit the Russian market for the long term? And also, how do they decide when it's time or acceptable to jump back in?
for my article in Wired last week, I spoke to Tyson Barker, who is the head of the Technology and Foreign Policy Program at the German Council on Foreign Relations, who pointed out that this could go on for a really, really long time. We just don't know when this conflict is going to end. And I think all of the, you know, the leaders and executives at tech companies that are making these decisions right now probably know that it's not necessarily something that's going to resolve very quickly. So I can't imagine that they are making these moves just for the sake of issuing a statement and hoping it's all going to clear itself up in 3 weeks. I would be surprised if that's the case.
So if that's the case, Lauren, what's the mood there in Silicon Valley? I mean, there must be some jangled nerves.
There's some pretty serious concern here from Silicon Valley about how this might play out. But at the same time, we sat through an hour-long Apple event where we looked at shiny new iPhones and iPads and processors. So in some cases, it also feels like business as usual.
Good point. Lauren Good, senior writer for Wired, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.